Beautiful, beautiful. Well, I know you checked your watches, and I promise we'll be done by noon. Today is an interesting day in the church. If I'm going to be honest with you, today in the life of the church, I mean the overarching church around the world, this Palm/Passion Sunday, they can't even decide which Sunday it is. We kind of cram two times together because we're not sure if everybody's going to make the Holy Week journey with us before they all come back on Easter. But it's a day where we wave the palms and we sing Hosanna and we shout the celebrations and we talk about the coming of God and the victory that will be and we get a little foretaste of what it might be like. But we know that Friday's coming. Now, we've always had the luxury of knowing that there's a Sunday after that Friday, but I can't imagine what the disciples and the ladies who love Jesus and the people who love Jesus were thinking on Friday night and all day Saturday and Saturday night. And we get a little glimpse when Mary gets up in the morning and she goes down to the graves while all the good men disciples are hiding because they're scared in their rooms. And Jesus, you notice how Jesus had to pass through the wall to get to them? Y'all ever read that part? He like just goes through like a ghost, sort of. He just kind of goes through. They had the door locked. The dudes were all together and they were that terrified of what the world would do to them with Jesus gone. Today we celebrate a unique day. We know that Jesus had everything given to him. He says so in Matthew 28 when he gives them the Great Commission, right? We knew that everything on heaven and on earth had been given to Jesus, and we see him riding into town. Now he's riding a donkey, which is kind of weird for a king to do. Have you ever seen a king ride a donkey? I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a king ride anything, but that's neither here nor there. But I imagine it wasn't donkeys. We know that the triumphal entry isn't quite as triumphant as we want it to be, at least not at first. At least not till a little bit later. At least not till he models servant leadership on Monday, Thursday. And instead of giving them their marching orders and arming them to go out into the world and to take it over, he takes a bowl and a basin and strips himself down to just a loincloth and he washes their feet. And he shows to them that this is the kingdom of God. This is what the people of God do. This is how the world is changed. This is what it means to be a follower of mine and to go and to do likewise. No matter how much you don't like feet, Stephen. You see, celebration assumes accomplishment. That's what I love about this. We're given the juxtaposition right off the bat. Jesus is riding into the parade. The Atlanta Braves don't have the parade before the World Series, right? When you win the national championship, you don't have the parade before you play the game. Florida Atlantic had a little bit of a parade before San Diego State hit it at the last second last night. I figured that was safe enough. I made fun of Alabama last week. I didn't get an email about it, though. I did not get an email about it. They've all left. that was not a joke at Alabama fans, I promise. Just teasing. The celebration assumes accomplishment. But as we read in our text, and I'm going to share with you in just a second, and I had never, I'm embarrassed to admit, but I had never caught this before in the very last verse, and I'm going to share it with you. Today in the life of the church, I like to call it Assumption Sunday. Now, nobody anywhere else that I'm aware of calls it that. We know what happens when we make assumptions. And we see Jesus riding those assumptions right into town. Right into the heart. Pontius Pilate is riding in on the other side with the pomp of all the power that could possibly be. We have Jesus and his disciples and the followers that are riding in with him with all the power that they could possibly have by the Son of God. And the people who are caught in the middle. Matthew chapter 21 begins with this. When they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus gave two disciples a task. Remember, he sent them out two by two, not one by one. He said to them, "Go into the village over here. As soon as you enter, you will find a donkey tied up and a colt with it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that their master needs them." And he sent them off right away. Jesus is the master of donkeys and colts. we should find that affirming. Now, this happened to fulfill what the prophet said. Say to daughter Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the donkey's offspring. I don't know if y'all ever caught this before, but Jesus was riding them both at the same time. Riding on a donkey and on a colt, the donkey's offspring. The disciples went and did just as Jesus has ordered them. They brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them. Then he sat on them. Now a large crowd spread their clothes on the road. Others cut palm branches off the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds in front of him and behind him shouted, Hosanna to the son David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest, just like we did. Verse 10 says, and when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up. Now, depending on your translation, it can say in turmoil. Down where I'm from, we would call it a ruckus. It come a ruckus. Right? And the people asked, and we got to assume it's the people who didn't know who Jesus was, but perhaps it's also the people who knew who Jesus was because they still never seem to exactly get it right. Even when he asked them and they answer correctly, they kind of answer with a question mark on the end. Who is this, they asked. The crowds answered, it's the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. Now this is the part I had never caught before. The crowds answered, it's the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, we don't know if it means the crowds, as in people who had gathered to watch, or we don't know if it means the crowds, as in the people who were already following Jesus and were a part of their crowd, but I'm going to go with the former, wait, the latter. I don't even know how that works. I'm going to go with the people who were a part of Jesus' crowd. And the people say, who is this? And the people who were with Jesus potentially right here answering, it's the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. They don't even know who he is. He's not the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. He's the Son of God. He's told them, and he's told them to be quiet about it. And he's told them, and he's told them to be quiet about it. And they've kind of guessed, question mark. And he said, you got it right. And nobody told you that except for my Father in heaven. And now he's getting ready, and we know after he rises again, he's going to send them out. We know he's getting ready for everything that Holy Week has. And they don't even know who he is. Potentially his own followers. He's the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. They didn't say he's the Son of God. They didn't say he's the Savior. They didn't say he's the one who's come to save us all. He didn't say he's the one who's come to make right through the grace of God, the reconciliation of all time and all creation and all humanity. The one who's come to wipe away evil. The one who's come to wipe away pride and selfishness. The one who has come to start the kingdom of God so that this earth can be like heaven. They could have said something like that. But they said, no. He's the prophet from Galilee. It's a little bit of a foreshadowing. What always happens to the prophets? They get murdered. Nobody likes prophets. They preach on political stuff. They get murdered. We see at the outset that Jesus is going to be treated like a prophet, but potentially even his own people did not know who he was. You see, the powers hadn't changed. They were coming into town, the government was, because they were worried about the potential of an uprising or a ruckus, and they seemed to have been right. But nobody seemed to know that this prophet was the embodiment of grace, of forgiveness, of sacrifice, of generosity, of salvation. You see, in the midst of Assumption Sunday, it would actually be better to say today is Decision Sunday. We know the end of the story. We know the rest of the story. Y'all like Paul Harvey? Yeah, well, we got it. We already know. We don't have to wait on Paul's Harvey's suave voice to tell us what's happening. We know the rest of the story. It's time to decide. You see, every day is a decision day, but on Assumption Sunday, is he the prophet? Is he the Savior? Is he just some wacko from Nazareth? Nothing good ever comes from Nazareth, to quote one of the disciples. Who is this man, Jesus? We have to ask ourselves, where do we need this grace of Jesus in our lives? Is it in our relationship with one another? Is it in our relationship to the world and creation? Is it the brokenness that we feel in our hearts? Is it in our finances? Where is it that we need this grace of Jesus Christ in our lives? You see, we don't deserve it, but it's already been extended to us. But if we're going to be honest, we are too proud and we are too stubborn to take it. We give it lip service. Yay! And then Jesus says, change your life. You don't talk like that and you try to make yourself stop thinking like that. You don't do those things. You don't go those places. You love those people and you pray for them. You make this world look the way the kingdom of God should look, not the way that you and your cohorts want to make it look. This is not about you. You will let Barabbas go in just a few days. This is about me, and in the midst of knowing this, me, Jesus, not me, Stephen. This is about me, Jesus, and in the midst of knowing this, I am going to wash your nasty feet in the same way that I'm going to wash your nasty soul. Assumption Sunday is decision Sunday. Where do we need to be God's grace? Where do we need to be God's reconciliation in this world to stop division and to bring unity? Where do we need to find Jesus already in action? You see, this is how Jesus prepared his disciples. I'm going to get our Nylene and Kathy, if they would, to come on up. Nylene, if you'll go ahead and kind of play a little intro to the last song. We'll get it singing in just a second. This is how Jesus gets them ready for Maundy Thursday. This is how Jesus gets them ready for Good Friday. This is one of the last times that he will see them before Easter morning. It's not Assumption Sunday. I hope we're past that. Today is Decision Sunday. Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to this world? Sometimes we make passing comments like, ah, those people just need Jesus. And for every time we've said that, I believe we needed it 100 times more. My friends, today, we need Jesus. Around the world, the church needs Jesus. Do you remember what Jesus did? He didn't come in and overturn the government. He came in and overturned the church, and the church didn't like it. And the church got him killed. They said he wasn't a good steward of the resources. And so Judas betrayed him. We're all Judas. Today is Decision Sunday. Now, my friends, as we get ready for Holy Week, who is Jesus to you? Today, as we sing the last song, you're welcome to come down and pray. Now, maybe you just have a simple question, Jesus, who are you to me? Maybe you need to say, Jesus, I haven't lived the way that I told you I would live, and it's time for me to make that right. Maybe it's the first time, and you want to know what it's like to live with Jesus in your life. If you want to pray with me or talk with me, you simply look up at me or cup your hands or do something to let me know and I will come and pray with you. But my friends, I'm tired of Assumption Sundays and Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Saturdays and all the days in between. It's Decision Sunday. We're not going to celebrate before the game. It's time to be who Jesus called us to be. The world is broken. You and I are broken. Something's got to give. We can't have any more Mondays. It is time to be, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the presence of Christ in this world. It's time to decide. Do we give lip service or do we live it? as Miss Kathy leads our last song. The altar is open. The invitation is open. It's already been extended. Don't be proud. Don't be stubborn. You can pray where you are. You're welcome to pray down here. Amen.